another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit have we been all baptized into one body. Praise the Lord. Now, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, there's something we have to know, and that's in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians, or no, no, it's in the second chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So if you didn't bring the Spirit of God in you tonight, then you're not going to understand the Scripture. You're not going to understand the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord limits these things, spiritual things, to spiritual people. Hello? But the natural man receiveth, now that's what the Bible says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And there are a lot of people that come to our church, and they have doubtful minds, they don't know, they think that whatever happens here is put on, and some people think that we're even a bunch of hypocrites and hiding behind a facade of some kind, but no. We see something that they don't see. We have our spiritual eyes opened. But the natural man, if he just comes in here with a natural brain, as high as his IQ might be, he doesn't know a thing about spiritual things. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. As hard as he might try, he cannot know the things of the Spirit of God. He can go to school, he can study, he can graduate, PhD, he can go to all the universities in the nation or the world, and he still can't understand it, because God said, this far, buddy, and no further. Until you humble yourself and repent, you will never understand. But that's not fair. Oh, who you gonna anybody going to complain against God? That makes them dumber yet. That makes them more foolish and ignorant yet. Anybody that would complain about the way God does things, that means they're atheistically inclined. They don't really, some say they don't know if there's a God, and of course that's an agnostic. And I met an agnostic one time, and he said, well, I'm not an atheist and I'm not a believer. He said, I'm an agnostic. I said, I'm sorry, I just looked that word up in the dictionary and it means you're ignorant. Now, this man is an administrator of schools and so on, and since then, wonderful things have happened, but I wouldn't brag about being an ignorant. I wouldn't brag about being an agnostic. So God says here in this verse here, you know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. And then the first verse says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, these people came out of idolatry. And he says, I don't want you to be dumb like you were. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know what reality is. Paul says, I want you to know who God is and what the Spirit of God can do. I want you to know that without a shadow of doubt. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these speechless stone and so on, idols, wood, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And isn't it wonderful that we can call Jesus Lord? We can say he is the Lord. Amen. He is the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me read that verse again. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And I could read a whole bunch of other scriptures confirming this. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You could if you would, but you won't, so you can't. Anybody remember I preached on that? You could if you would, but you won't, so you can't. That's when God said he hath blinded their eyes, lest they should see and get saved. That doesn't mean God's mean or God's unfair. No. A man has to come to God humbly. A man has to come to God with repentance and faith in God. Amen. Or he's not going to get anywhere. He'll stumble and fumble around in the dark. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. But if you don't have light, you're gonna fall down. You're going to stumble and fall on everything and hurt yourself. And then get up and walk some more and fumble around and hurt yourself again. That's the story of this world. 1 Peter 4:10-11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, I think that's so good. Then he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Amen. If any man speak, whether he speak in tongues or whether he speak out a prophecy, whether he preach a sermon, whether he witness to somebody, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. We need to be able to say when we speak, thus saith the Lord, and then be able to find the place. Remember when Jesus went to the temple, he found the place, or the synagogue, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, and so on. But he found the place. Jesus knew his Bible. He was born a human being just like us. He had to study. He grew in wisdom, the Bible says. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Jesus was able to say, it is written, when he spoke. Are we able to say, behind every statement we make, it is written? That's how well we should know our Bibles. So that when we witness to somebody, we can, and they ask us the question, hey, if any man ask you a reason of the hope that lieth in you, be ready to give him an answer, the Bible says. Well, we should be able to give an answer as though it were the oracles of God. Oracle means, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And so when we testify to somebody, when we preach, I want to be able to back up everything. And if you come to me and ask a question afterward, I want to say, here it is. I found the place. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be able to stand up in the synagogue and find the place where it was written. We need to know our Bibles. Amen. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, so the natural man is not interested in the Bible. He would be much more interested in philosophy and mathematics and all of these things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, no matter how smart he is, but they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because God says, no, you can't find it. You got to get spiritual to find this. Okay. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, let me just talk for a minute about self-confidence and people in the world that have self-confidence. I know a few names of people in the world, but not very many, not near as many as I do Bible names. But there are some real stars in the world that can throw a basketball and make a bucket from so many feet out, and you can almost count on them. And there was old Babe Ruth. I think we've all heard that one. He would just point over where he's going to hit a home run, and bang, he'd sock one over there. And he had self-confidence. He knew when he got up to bat, something good was going to happen. Not every time, but he knew on the average that he was above the average and something good was going to happen. So have you ever seen anybody with athletic talent, and you're going to choose sides for a volleyball game? Woo! Let me pick him, you know? And this guy, he's not going to sit out the game. He knows he's good, and he knows he's got talent. He knows he's got ability, athletic ability, and he knows he's going to get picked. One of the first ones to get picked. And so he's got this talent, and he's got this self-confidence that talent has given him. What about the guy who was washing dishes down in Nashville, Tennessee? And he's singing while he's washing dishes, and somebody heard him singing. He said, you better be auditioned. He goes to be auditioned, and he's a star today. He's a, I don't know, I suppose a millionaire star today. Well, by the way, Brother Keeler and I just met a multi-millionaire today. And in fact, just a couple hours ago. We went out and had a salad, and here's this man sitting there, and I recognize him, and I went over to him. I walked over to him and I said to him, "Remember me?" No, I didn't. See, they wouldn't remember you, but you would remember them, because they have money, they have power, and they have self-confidence. But their self-confidence is in their athletic ability, it's in their musical ability, it's in their money, their ability to make money. But I met that man once before. A nice guy, really a nice guy. And I couldn't believe it. But he said, "You're Reverend Tanberg. You pastor that church over by Hobbs Ice Facility, the one that burned down. Hey, it's all fixed up." I said, "Come on in. Come on in and see it. You don't have to come to church. Just come on in and see the building." I mean, most people that come in here, they'll feel the presence of God. They just feel it. I know God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands, but there's just something about the lingering presence of the Lord and you or I that are with them. I think that we make the difference, really, being filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not natural, we're spiritual. We're not natural, we're spiritual. Predominantly, amen. So here's a man with athletic ability and he's got this self-confidence. And here's a lady or a gentleman that's got musical talent. And here's this guy that becomes a millionaire. He can't read or write, but I mean, he can make money, and he's got self-confidence. And then there's the person that can read and write. I mean, really, really expert at it. And he's got a vocabulary that just won't stop. He doesn't stutter for words like I do. And so he's got this ability, this talent, and he's self-confident. He can join in a conversation anywhere. You can ask him any question, And he can talk. He's got words to back up his thoughts or to express his thoughts. And that's kind of a gift, I think, anyway. Or how about somebody with mechanical talent? What about the millionaire that breaks down in the road and he doesn't know what's wrong with his car, and here comes this hillbilly along and he says, "Well, sir," he says, "pull your hood open there and we'll take a look." And he rolls his sleeves up, bloop, the car's running again. You know, he's got self-confidence. There are people that have all kinds of talents and ability and self-confidence. But I want to know, are you intimidated by somebody with self-confidence through a gift or a talent? A lot of people are. They're intimidated. Oh, we're not in their class. We can't sit with them. We can't talk to them. They're too high above us. And I want you all to get rid of that attitude. I really do. I want you to get rid of that attitude. I want to tell you something. You, in Jesus Christ, have more than all these talents put together. When you have God, I don't care if you have one talent. I don't care if you can't play the piano. You can't even play drums. I mean, I don't care if you can't sing, carry a tune, as they say, in a bucket or a barrel. But it doesn't matter. If you've got Jesus Christ, you have no reason to be intimidated by anybody or anything or any talent or any amount of money. You've got more than any and all of them put together. Praise God. Praise God. That's why I like to talk about the Apostle Paul. And if I had an orange crate up here, I'd stand up on it. And I've said this before, but the Apostle Paul said to the Romans in verse 16 of chapter 1, he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And I just wonder if he wasn't dealing with or talking to people who had been listening to these great philosophers of the day or even quoting them from time past, Aristotle, Plato, and so on and so on. I just wonder if he didn't stand up there on his soapbox and say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I mean, these other guys, they ought to be ashamed. They can change a man's mind, but they can't change his heart. I've got a gospel that'll change their heart. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Doesn't make any difference who you are. You can be Caesar, or you can be one of Caesar's slaves. Doesn't matter. And that's why we should not be intimidated. We have received a gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. Why should I go around trying to make people rich? I'd like to go around making people rich. I mean rich. Saved rich. Hallelujah. I don't speak against riches. That's not my point. But hey, we've got something better than gold, than silver and gold. Amen. Jesus The apostle said to one man, thy gold, thy money perish with thee. See, your money's going to perish, and you perish with it if you got your hands on that instead of laying hold on eternal life. Praise the Lord. I like what I believe. Is the baptism of the Holy Ghost for today? You believe it is? Okay, I'm going to reason with you now. If the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for today, are the gifts of the Spirit for today? They are. Okay, how come then you have and I have the gift of the Holy Ghost, but we don't have any gifts of the Spirit? Tell me. Why is it so hard for some people to receive the Holy Ghost? Why is it so hard for some people to receive the Holy Ghost? Probably a little unbelief. Maybe a lot of unbelief. Okay? Now let me ask another question. Why is it that it's so hard for us to receive a gift or the gifts of the Spirit? Huh? Could it be a little unbelief or maybe a whole lot of unbelief? You see, we already read that it's the same Spirit that we received when we spoke in tongues the first time and were baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's the same Spirit that's in operation in all of these gifts. All these nine gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Same Spirit. So it would seem to me like we need to go on in the Holy Ghost and not just be satisfied with our reception of the Holy Ghost, but that we should desire, the Bible says, spiritual gifts. It says, covet earnestly the best gifts. How many of us are coveting the gifts of the Spirit? I don't think I covet them enough. Sure, I've been used in the gifts of the Spirit, and so have many of you. I don't know exactly how many of the gifts of the Spirit I've been used in, probably any more than you know, but it's wonderful when you're used in a gift of the Spirit that blessed or helped somebody else. That's a great joy. That's a great joy. How many of you get happy when you witness to somebody and they finally come to church and then the message is over, the altar call is given? We used to have a lot of this. And people, your guest, your candidate would get up and walk to the altar and pray, weeping. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful feeling? And I see you years ago in the old stone church, especially then. I've seen it. I've seen the person that invited them just weeping and weeping because somebody they witnessed who got saved. Well, how about if somebody was sick and dying and you laid your hands on them and prayed for them and they got healed? Wouldn't that make you feel good? Or would it make you feel great? Good. Make you feel good, wouldn't it? The minute you start feeling great is when the Lord's going to put you down. He's going to humble you. Whenever you think it's you, then you're not giving the glory to God. And it's not going to work well. Okay, so I believe, as you do, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for today, and the gifts of the Spirit are for today. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost itself is preceded by faith, repentance, and obedience. And the gifts of the Holy Ghost are from that same Spirit that you received when you came to the altar and was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Just think of the potential that we all who have been filled with the Holy Ghost have. Just think of the potential. I don't care if you're young or old or what. It doesn't matter. Sick or healthy. Crippled or a marathoner. You know? What potential we have. And that's why I had somewhat of a burden to teach on these gifts of the Spirit, because I want you to be blessed by being used of God and helping somebody else. You can do it. You can do it. We just got to have better prayer meetings and more prayer meetings and greater humility and desire and covetousness. Thou shalt not covet unless God tells you to. Praise the Lord. So the gifts of the Holy Ghost are not given to sinners. They're not given to backsliders. Sinners that come to the Lord, yes. Backsliders that return to the Lord, yes. But the gifts of the Holy Ghost, to my way of thinking, are to Spirit-filled Christians for the edification of the church. For the edification of the church. Amen. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Folks, we're all in this boat together. We're all in this ship together. That's why they call it fellowship. And we're all in this sanctuary. We're all in this church together. And we need to plug for one another. We need to pray for one another. And we need to pray that everybody will have manifest gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Now, we're reading 1 Corinthians 12 where the 9 gifts of the Spirit are listed, but there are many other verses in the Bible that deal with God's supernatural power other than 1 Corinthians 12 and the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Listen to this. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so there's no use being baptized. Some people have fussed over that a little bit, but my answer is, somebody said to me, well, why doesn't it say he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned? You don't need to say that, because if you don't believe, there's no sense of being baptized. You'll just go down a dry sinner and come down a wet sinner. And then it says in verse 17 of Mark 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. See, devils aren't even mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I don't know how many of you know Valerie Teamy. Valerie Demas now. She married the missionary to Greek and then to Germany, to Greece and then to Germany. She graduated from the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. And they had a bus, and her class had to go somewhere, and they had to eat along the way. And they all went in and ate, and they all ate the same thing. And all of them got sick and had to go to bed. Except Valerie. Go into class. Where is everybody? They're all sick. They shall eat a deadly thing. It shall not harm them. See, we are the recipients of the supernatural miracles. We got to know that we are sons of God. We are the children of God. We have been born of the Spirit. And God wants to do things for us. He'll do things for us. Amen. Okay, so again, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand, and so on. Okay, you were ignorant in worshiping idols. I do not want you to be ignorant in God's spiritual gifts. Paul's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. This is reality. Saints at Corinth, this is reality. Saints of Pentecostal Assembly, this is reality. My wife used to play for 6-7 years. She was the camp organist, morning, noon, and night. Since then, they've changed it from morning and night. But she played morning, noon, and night. And she had a room there right at the camp. She was always there, always faithful in her organ playing. And she was blessed and a blessing to the camp. I've heard many preachers talk about those days. But anyway, they said the camp was over. And some of the ladies were standing by their cars and their trunks all packed, and cars, back seats packed, bedding and all of these things, you know, and they're going to leave camp now. And one of the ladies said, "Oh, now we have to go back to reality." And my wife spoke up and said, "No, this is reality. This is reality. The presence of God is reality. The rest of this is just a vapor. It's going to all pass away. It's all going to melt with fervent heat. All going to burn up. It's all going to go away. Praise the Lord." And God's going to do some marvelous, miraculous things. And so the unalterable rule is, no man speaking by the Holy Ghost calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Let me read something to you. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." Now here's this sorcerer, and he's watching reality. "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the hands of the apostles the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said," that's Simon the sorcerer, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." Now there's a man who met reality, who thought that he was something, and the people thought he was some great one. Do you and I know what we have when we receive the Holy Ghost? The power of God that we have with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man," or standing by your car ready to leave Shawnee, Wisconsin, and saying, "Now we got to go back to reality." They said it in all innocence, I'm sure. But that's not reality, folks. That's not reality. This is reality. And some people will miss reality in church for that which is going on for money, or for prestige, or for fame, or for something they can learn, or something. Oh, we don't know the half of it. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. For ye sometimes were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Praise God, praise God. Who among us could adequately explain the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit? I think it would be more difficult for a man to explain the baptism of the Holy Ghost who had never received it or never experienced it than for someone who was full of the Holy Ghost, Couldn't you explain the baptism of the Holy Ghost better than your former Lutheran pastor or your former Baptist pastor or your former Methodist pastor or even Matthew Henry or Adam Clark? Couldn't you explain it better? The least of them among us should be able to explain it better than all of those educated people with their degrees. See, it would be more difficult for a man to explain the baptism of the Holy Ghost who had never received it than for someone who had received it. Have you ever had a ride in my car? Have you ever had a ride with Brother Keeler in his airplane? Well, you can't describe it very well if you haven't. But somebody who has can describe it. So with the Holy Ghost. And so some of these great commentators, like Matthew Henry, whom I have encouraged each one here in the church to get a set because of certain historical facts and things like that, and the chronology and a lot of things you can learn about life in the times of Jesus and history and so on. Okay, but anyway, in his rather brief lifetime, he wrote a 6-volume commentary, and many of you have that, on the books of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. His commentary has been read and revered by multitudes of Bible-loving, believing Christians. Yet, you turn to Matthew Henry and you look up Acts 2:38, and you can see he's lacking in understanding. He has never received the experience. That's why I say, what do you expect a sinner to do? Sin. They've never experienced Jesus Christ and his righteousness. What do you expect the Christian to do? I say, live righteously. Amen. So, why is this? Well, I personally believe it's because he never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to the best of my knowledge anyway. If he has, he never spoke of it. And I wonder, here's my point, if the reason I scratch my head over 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 is because I have not experienced all the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So somebody else may be able to explain it better that has been used in those gifts, has received those gifts, and is still used in those gifts than I can, who have not been used in them. I think I can say something about healing. I've been used in healing. I think I can say something about discernment of spirits, no doubt. And I think you can too. A lot of you can. You can. But when we scratch our heads and can't understand something like this, it's probably because we haven't been used in it. We haven't experienced it. And whatever it is that keeps us from being so slow, like some people receiving the Holy Ghost are so slow, just takes some hunger, takes some faith, takes some repentance. Maybe if we would get a little more hunger, a little more speed going, a little more interest and thirst and hunger for the things of God, maybe we'd have more of the gifts of the Spirit in here. And I'm going to talk about each of the gifts of the Spirit individually during this series of Wednesday night lessons. And we will have interruptions on Wednesday night when some special speaker comes or when it's a youth-led Wednesday night. Okay, so myself, I doubt if I have been used in all 9 of the gifts of the Spirit. Have you, has anybody here been used in all 9 gifts of the Spirit? Maybe you have. Maybe we're missing something. Are the gifts of the Spirit for today? Yes, we said that already. Is the Holy Ghost for today? Has God withdrawn the gift of the Holy Ghost? If he hasn't withdrawn the gift of the Holy Ghost, he hasn't withdrawn the gifts of the Holy Ghost, because they're all of the same Spirit. If he took the gifts away, I would think he took the gift away then. Is my reasoning logical? Okay. No one could tell you that the Holy Ghost is not for today. Why? Because you have it. You've experienced it. Now, can anybody, it might be easier for somebody to tell you that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we'd get all of us who have the Holy Ghost down at the altar and we'd all gather around and say, oh God, give him a gift of the Spirit. Oh God, we're not going to let him go until he gets a gift of the Spirit. Wouldn't that be something? What would be wrong with that? What would be wrong with that? desiring. That's what I'm saying. When you want the Holy Ghost, you desire it so much, you come up to the altar. And you let people pray for you. And you might be inhibited when they're praying for you. But that's what it takes, doesn't it? We might have to humble ourselves, folks, to be used in some of the gifts of the Spirit. I don't teach this as a established doctrine with myself even. I am just reasoning with us, saying, what is wrong with the church today? The 21st century church. What is wrong? Why don't we have the power of the early church? I've offered myself several reasons. Are the gifts of the Spirit for us today? Has God withdrawn the gifts of the Spirit? Those who have seen them in operation know that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. When I first came here, I wrote a letter to a man that I read a story about. John Osteen, some of you have probably heard of him. He was a Baptist pastor who believed that the gifts of the Spirit were not for today until he gave birth to, his wife gave birth, of course, to a diseased and handicapped child. Then he changed his doctrine. He left his church. He received the Holy Ghost. He joined the Pentecostals and saw his daughter completely healed. Quite a story. It's quite a story. It's in a little thin red book. But that's what happened to this man. Now, and I think about him, and I wrote him a letter, and he wrote back before he was very, very popular, just out the Baptist church, and being criticized, of course, and being welcomed into the Pentecostal movement. But here he was. I don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They're not for today. And then he had a need for a gift of the Spirit, healing. Then he had a need for a miracle. He had a need now for the gifts of the Spirit. Now he got hungry for them. You mean there's a possibility that my daughter doesn't have to lay here like a vegetable for the rest of her life, and we have to care for her morning, night, all day long? You mean I'm thirsting for this. I'm hungry for this. I'm going after it. And he went after it. And he had to leave his church because they didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, that they were for today. And so he went after it. And he joined the Pentecostals. He received the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. And somehow, through prayer and the gifts of the Spirit, his daughter was healed. I've got the book. I could read it to the church in 20 minutes probably. Very, very good. So on page 5 of his book, There is a Miracle in Your Mouth, he wrote, I was taught that the day of miracles was over. I hope you clap after I read this. 3 lines. Ready, set, don't go. I was taught that the day of miracles was over. One day, however, I discovered there never was a day of miracles. But there is a God of miracles, and He never changes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I added here, the phrase day of miracles is a misnomer. It suggests that miracles were limited to a certain time period. He's always been a God of miracles. He's always doing a miracle, isn't he? Praise the Lord. How many of you read Mel Tari's book, The Indonesian? Any of you? Okay, good, good. Several of you have. His book, Like a Mighty Wind, he said this, quote, it is no big, and he speaks with an accent, of course, it is no big deal for God to perform miracles. For us, miracles are supernatural. For God, they are normal. Look at me. I am not showing off my brown skin. My skin is naturally brown. Yours is white. When God performs miracles, He's just being Himself. If you caught that, you'll love it. And I love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So everybody say yes. Yes. The gifts of the Spirit are for today. And I could add another word. Yes. The gifts of the Spirit are for us today. not somebody else. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Listen to this. Now he's writing to the Corinthians, first chapter, not the 12th, not the 14th, but what he writes about in that book is the gifts of the Spirit. He says, so that ye come behind in no gift. In other words, God wants nine gifts of the Spirit operating in Pentecostal assembly this month, next month, and the next month, and the next month. And I'll tell you how long he wants those gifts to be in operation in Pentecostal assembly, 99th Ave, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, 54703. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to have all nine gifts of the Spirit in operation in this assembly until he comes again. He's coming for a spiritual church. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God has not withdrawn his gifts. Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And I'll answer that young person's question next Friday night, a week from Friday night. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, if Jesus gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, tell me something. Would he withdraw them before we were perfect? Huh? No. God knows that we are not yet perfect. His goal is our perfection. His goal is our perfection. That should be our goal. Perfection. Be ye therefore perfect. Now, that doesn't mean be ye therefore perfect. I'm perfect. I don't think so. I think it means that strive for perfection. Strive to enter in. That's our goal. Perfection. Amen. Why the gifts of the Spirit? I'll tell you why. Because numerically, there are many more people against the Lord than for the Lord. Numerically, we are vastly outnumbered. Vastly outnumbered. Now, if you say Christianity you look up you'd have to give me a definition of Christianity before I can believe some of these statistics. See, I'm not gullible. Not most of the time anyway. I just don't believe. I just don't believe a lot of statistics. Too many variables there. And so, if America is 90% Christian, we wouldn't be in the trouble we're in. What's your definition of Christian? Myself, I think your definition of Christian is nothing less than martyr material. Any man say he's my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. Any man. Honestly, I'm so tender-hearted myself that I would read that and I would preach with that scripture in my mind, and I'd never impose that scripture. Bless my dull heart. on the congregation, I always thought that's for me, being a pastor, being a shepherd. That's for me. I'm the one that's supposed to be willing to die, not anybody else. But I have since found out that that's not true. Count that quality Christian. The numbers dwindle, don't they? Maybe there aren't so many Christians in the world as we think. Okay, so Why do we have the gifts of the Spirit? Why did God give that to us? Remember, he said in the Greek translation, of course, it says, I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you little orphans. I will come to you, and I will indwell you. And he ascended to heaven, you know, and he gave gifts unto men. And so he hasn't left us in this world little helpless orphans. He hasn't left us at the mercy of this world. He's got some power. He's got some power. And how about the guy that was attacked in the parking lot up at just by ABI Bible Institute in St. Paul on Hudson Road at a supermarket there? All these cars parked there, and a gang of guys ganged up on this one student. He was right here and told the story himself. But they ganged up on him, and he was outnumbered. And he was well built. But he had no intention of winning a battle against a gang as strong as he might have been. And they attacked him. And all he did was go like this to protect himself. He put up his hand, and they fell backwards and got up and ran. God has not left us little orphans. He's given us some power, some gifts of the Spirit, some angelic protection. You've heard about the angels. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. We are endowed with supernatural gifts. We have them available for us. Praise the Lord. Humanism is any system of thought or action based on the nature, dignity, interests, and ideals of man. Specifically, a modern non-theistic rationalist movement that holds that man is capable of self-fulfillment, ethical conduct, and so forth, without recourse to supernaturalism. That's Webster's New World Dictionary, Second College Edition. That's the definition in that dictionary of humanism. Now, I am not a humanist, and doubtfully any of you are. So, having faith in God, we don't believe that we are capable of self-fulfillment without any resource to God in heaven. Amen? We lean on Him. We trust in Him. You're driving down the road. One winter, quite a few years ago, I-94, we were coming back from St. Paul, I guess, and I-94 was really, really slippery. All of a sudden, my wife was driving. I was reading the Bible, and it was dark. All of a sudden, I looked up, and the headlights were shining on it. Just a pack of trucks and cars in the ditch. There was one spot there where everybody was just spinning out. And we got there, and we started to spin. And so I grabbed the steering wheel. I grabbed the steering wheel, and I tried to turn it. I never knew my wife was so strong. I said, let go of the... We're excited now, you know, because we're heading for the ditch. We're going round. And the car's going sideways down the highway. And I said, let go of the steering wheel so I can bring it back. And she says, I'm not touching the steering wheel. She had her hands up in the air. But you want to know something? I was trying to steer that power steering car on ice to safety. And I couldn't even turn the steering wheel. The brawny arm of an angel, I believe, reached down and overpowered me. He says, I'll straighten it up for you. And we never did go in the ditch. We went on our way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to believe in God and know there's a God and know that He loves you and know that He's got all power in heaven and earth and He can help you and He can bring you out of your troubles? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. So, in the natural world, we are outnumbered and we are overpowered in a hostile world, and we need supernatural help to fight our battles, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and all this stuff in high places. Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, But by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I got to preach on that again sometime. 59:19, Isaiah. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Hey, folks, when everything's going wrong, just remember Isaiah 59:19. When the Spirit of the Lord comes in like a flood, don't look to natural sources and resources and all of this. Look to God. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And then Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When I went in the army, I mean, they threw a pair of boots at me. They threw a pair of trousers. They didn't care if they fit or not. A pair of trousers at me. You know, they said, if your clothes don't fit, just trade with somebody. And boy, there's a lot of trading going on. Because they just threw me a pair of boots that I couldn't get on. And trousers, you know, that were way out here. I look like one of those pictures. See how much weight I've lost. So they just threw this issue of clothing at you. That's what I was in anyway. And when you join the army of King Jesus, listen to this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When you joined the army of King Jesus, he gave you a full array of whatever you needed, equipment, to fight this battle. You need not to fear. Doesn't the Bible say 365 times? Fear not. Fear not. I heard a Gideon say that. And so he counted them, and fear not, or fear thou not, or be not afraid, in any form of that. He counted 366. And then he got up before us when we were at a Gideon supper, and he said, 365 days in a year, but then there's leap year. And he said, God made sure he didn't miss one. Praise the Lord. So, God has fully equipped his people. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we fight a battle and we get happy. But let's get happy about him and his help in the victory. Not our expertise and our ability and our spirituality, you know. Look to him. Thank him. Amen. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You know, some people yo-yo like the stock market, and they're happy here and they're sad here. They're happy here and they're sad here. When it goes up, they're up. When it goes down, they're down. Not so with the joy of the Lord. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I think that's not only Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again. Right on every day of our lives. Now, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you know that all three of those entries there are supernatural? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Do you know your supernatural is righteousness? You don't have any of your own. Your righteousness and my righteousness stink in the nostrils of God. He calls them filthy rags in Isaiah. Filthy. Your righteousness are as filthy rags. So we have righteousness, we have peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Supernatural, right? the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What's this joy? Stock market joy? Heavens no. Jesus said, my joy I give unto you. And we sing, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I got it. It's mine. It's not contingent on what goes up and what goes down in this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And that's Jesus. That's the word of our testimony. That's Jesus. He's the word of our testimony, isn't he? And they overcame him by the blood of... It's all Jesus. And they love not their lives unto the death. That's those that are going to be saved. Those that love not their lives unto the death. If any man will be mine, let him take up his cross and follow me. Amen. So who can be used in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit? Doesn't a person have to be perfect before they can be used in the gifts of the Holy Ghost? God could never use me. I have too many faults. God would never use me. Are the gifts of the Spirit for the perfect only? Here's my statement. Or are the gifts of the Spirit for the perfecting of the imperfect? That ought to give us a lot of liberty in stepping out in faith and being used of the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit should help bring about our perfection rather than our perfection bringing about the gifts of the Spirit. So, chins up. Cheer up, my brother. God wants to use you. You. God wants to use you. Be not unbelieving, Jesus said, but have faith in God. Amen. It is true that God may not trust us with certain gifts until we mature to the point where we won't hurt ourselves with them. How about that? That makes sense? It is true that God may not trust us with certain gifts of the Spirit until we mature to the point where we won't hurt ourselves with them. Daddy, I want a bicycle. And so Daddy got me a bicycle. I'm talking about this guy right here. Daddy got me a bicycle. And so I got that bicycle, little boy. When the pedal went down, I couldn't get my foot on it. You know? Here's the pedal, here's my foot. You know, and I'm trying to get down, and you pump on one, you go on the other. My virgin voyage. 715 Chippewa Street. How can I forget it? I was the victim. So I put my foot up on the curb, and I got the pedal up here. And then I pushed on it, and I started wobbling down the street. I didn't even know the thing had brakes on it. I didn't know how to stop it. I didn't know how to turn it. When I started to turn, I felt like I was tipping over. I don't even remember how old I was, but I just a youngster, small. And so I drove past 7th Avenue, drove down to 6th Avenue, the semi-truck was coming. A flatbed. And I just kept going because I didn't know how to turn it and I didn't know how to stop it. I drove right under the rear wheel of the semi-truck. Pew! Just like that. And a crowd gathered and I took my crippled bicycle and picked it up and ran home. And learned how to ride a bike. But see, maybe my dad got me a bicycle. He probably thought I was more mature than that. But God, I don't think, wants us to play with gifts of the Spirit until we're mature enough to handle them. Follow me? Okay, I don't know if everybody's getting something out of this or not, but I'm saying it anyway. Okay. Now, your son may have to wait until he's mature enough to be a responsible driver before you give him the gift of a set of keys to the family car. Right? Right. You good dads. How could one possibly hurt themselves or someone else by using a gift of the Spirit? Well, here's one way right off the bat. The gifts of the Spirit are not meant to exalt man. And if God gave it to you prematurely before you had pride under control, you would be lifted up in pride as a novice and hurt yourself. The gifts of the Spirit are given to exalt God. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Amen. What if James and John could have performed this miracle at their discretion? Luke 9:51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, that's to the cross, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Listen to this. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Gifts of the Spirit, Lord! We need a miracle now. Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. So what if James and John could have had all those gifts at their disposal and had done this? They would have hurt. They would have hurt themselves. They would have hurt the plan. How slow we are to understand. And what patience God has with us. To me, certain gifts of the Spirit should help bring about our perfection, our maturity, rather than our perfection qualifying us for use in the gifts of the Spirit. Reasoning. I love to reason. I love to meditate. I love to think about things. Think them through. Wouldn't that have been a hopeless cause if God had waited until we were perfect before he gave us the gift of eternal life? Is the gift of the Holy Ghost just for those who have become good enough? If I were good enough, then I wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. I'd already be good enough. But wouldn't you admit that the gift of eternal life motivates you to want to be perfect? How do you feel about that? That's what it does to me. Oh my. 1 Corinthians 12:7, the gift of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. 14:12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. 14:26, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. The nine gifts of the Spirit are not a set of toys for young boys to have fun with. They are gifts of his love given for a specific purpose. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Stand and thank God for